First, I have to say how a travesty it is that Capcom never did tournaments, like official Capcom tournaments for X-Men vs. Street Fighter, Marvel vs. Street Fighter. I said it. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Street Fighter 2 for the Game Boy podcast. My voice is a little lower because I'm kind of dying. Not dying, but like I got a whatchamacallit, not a sore throat. Oh God, I hate those. Just a really strep throat. And it's just been like a tiring week, just with vacation and traveling as well. By the time I recorded this, I actually am still like partway recording the Survivor Mode tier list. So I'm probably not gonna record that to save my voice. But I figured like this was probably like, you know, a better time than now, as X-Men vs. Street Fighter is playing in the background, just to go over the games that I added to my NES Mini Classic via modded, because I always wanted to have like a mini arcade, and I feel like I finally accomplished that. Unfortunately, I couldn't have like the full arcade cabinet yet because of my house. It's a little whatchamacallit with the house. We're lacking like certain space, so it's hard to like actually get like a arcade cabinet going into here. But what I wanted to do was just before my voice goes, I wanted just to go through different games that have been with the arcade cabinet. So I want to actually go back. So we got the whatchamacallit, as you, I'm literally like scrolling through it right now. So you got the standard 30 NES mini games, and I'll just run by like games that I'll play, so I'll just say yep or no. So Double Dragon 2 The Revenge. For some reason, I could never get into the Double Dragon beat 'em up games, but I would play it again. I would definitely try it. Galaga Demons of Death. I love Galaga, and my wife and my mother-in-law loves it too, so that's always a definite play in my book. Pac-Man. That's a classic, one of the greatest arcade games ever. Oh, Shizzle Fritz. I forgot that Ghosts and Goblins was on here, so that's definitely a play. Mega Man 2 is tough, but that's definitely a play. Definitely with Ninja Gaiden, Tecmo Bowl, definite play. Castlevania, Castlevania 2. I'm actually going to play that on Memorial Day by the time by the time this episode's recorded, I'll be past it. So I actually want to play that Memorial Day, or maybe like a day after. Gradius, I never played it, but we'll try it. Super C, I think that's Operation C off of Contra. Definite play. Balloon Fight. Ah, I will try it. Donkey Kong for NES. I actually played that to death. One of the first arcade cabinets that I played. When I was younger, I was like maybe like 9 or 10. And my brother and I, we would go around the corner from our house to a laundromat. And it would be like this laundromat would be all the way in the lot, and I would love it because there would be two games there in an arcade cabinet separately. There would be the Donkey Kong arcade cabinet and also the Arkanoid cabinet. I was never good in Arkanoid because of the weird knob. But so many quarters were lost and also stolen from that should have and could have went to laundry, went to play Donkey Kong. I adore it. Donkey Kong Jr. This is actually the first game that I wouldn't play because I played it. I played it a little bit, but I'm just like, eh. So that would be a pass. I wouldn't play it. Dr. Mario. I played this a lot with Josh just recently. Shout out to AKA El Hombre. And Nintendo Switch, you can play this online. So I actually had a really good time playing with it. And of course, Josh beat me in that too, because the guy is just awesome in any game he plays. He's so modest. He's like, no, I can't do it. I can't, you know, gotta give it a good time. Josh, you are like one of the greatest like puzzle and crazy thing is fighting games, you're very tough and you're really, you know, a very great challenge. But puzzle games, you're even a greater challenge, man. I tip my cap to you. a site bike. I think this was one of the first games where you can, you know, create your own track. I played a teensy bit of it, but I'm definitely going to play that. Ice Climbers, I've never played it before. Only familiar with the game via Smash Brothers, like a lot of people that were in the 90s. Definitely try it. Kid Icarus, I'll try it. Not a fan, especially like, oh yeah, the Game Boy version. That's the, I want to look up that. Let me see. I'm actually going to do this right now, because the Game Boy version is very, very notorious for being like very hard. And I tried an emulated version of it. Kid Icarus. Oh yeah, Kid Uprising. I actually like Uprising. It's kind of like a rail on shooter. So, here's the ironic part. When I was at in Kid Icarus, like I'm doing now, I just wanted to make sure I added it to my queue, so that way, you know, I can go back and be like, all right, you know, I got like a literal games queue on my on YouTube. I think it's like 800 games that I just want to like sit down and, you know, see, but because I know it's going to be tough for me actually like taking the time to like play it and then devote as well. So I actually have like a queue of like over 800 games. Let me see, it's exactly 807 videos, all of them full of video games and comic books that I wanted to read. The podcast accidentally cut off because I clicked the play button on it. So Ice Climbers, yeah. Kid Icarus, yeah. Kirby's Adventure, definitely try. Mario Brothers, oh yeah. I actually like Mario Brothers, and there's a whatchamacallit I'm gonna get as well. It was a Super Mario Brothers LCD game. I actually had it too. Forgot what I'd done with it, but it was actually a fun LCD game. Metroid, I never played it, but definitely try it. Punch Out was super hard. Definitely tried it again. Star Tropics, yes. Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3, yes, yes. And yes, I've beaten Super Mario Brothers. Played a little bit of Mario Brothers 2. And definitely played a good portion of Super Mario Brothers 3. Maybe got halfway through it on the Game Boy Advance version. Legend of Zelda, believe it or not, I've never played The Legend of Zelda. I might have played it during a, whatchamacallit, like an emulator, but I don't think so. I did play Legend of Zelda, The Adventure of Link. That thing was hard, but I'll definitely try it again. Oh yeah, definitely Bubble Bobble. I think I played the first Final Fantasy. So literally, out of all that... Okay, I stand corrected on Double Dragon. I'm like, eh. I would pass Double Dragon. So literally 20 out of 30 games I would play. And I didn't even grow up with a regular Nintendo or a Super Nintendo. I grew up a Sega Genesis fan. That's awesome. So I'm going to cut that off. That's just the regular NES games. And then we'll get to my games that I added via modification or emulation as well. All right, jumping right back in. I had like a couple of versions of games. So this is actually, unless if there's like a game that I really have to get to the collection, I would definitely get it. But other than that, I don't plan to flash the game anymore. Just, you know, I think you have like 10,000 flashes before the console breaks itself. And I don't even want to chance it. So here we go. And this is just all in the order that I have it here. For the Game Boy, I have College Slam. It's kind of like NBA Jam, but it's more of the college thing, and I really do appreciate that. It has a good portion of teams. I think it has like maybe 10 or 11 different teams, but I've enjoyed it immensely. I wish that, you know, there was something where I could, you know, play around with the button configurations to have maybe the turbo button, like you hold down the A button for turbo, but then you tap it lightly to shoot, as opposed to like having that third button, like turbo, pass and shoot, having it on a different button because it's hard to like play and then you got to reach for the select button as well. But nevertheless, the controller scheme notwithstanding, is a good game for the arcade. And I have a couple of arcade ones coming up. So I have Cadillacs and Dinosaurs. Such a great beat 'em up game that sadly was never ported to any home console that I know of. It may have, and I just don't haven't included it, but I am like 85% certain that it hasn't been ported to a console. Speaking of another game that hasn't been ported to a console is Dungeons & Dragons Tower of Doom and Shadow of Mystara. At first, I really wasn't a big fan of the games, but playing online with El Hombre with some of the online games, I just became like such a huge, huge fan of Dungeons & Dragons. And literally, it's multiple, you know, challenges. And I'm glad that we're able just to play it in two-player. You know, I can just plug up another game controller and we could just rock out from there. And I do actually have our arcade stick. And I think once I have to replenish my vacation fund first. But once I do that and maybe I have a little bit extra left over, hopefully I'll be able to pick up two of the Amiyo arcade sticks, E-M-I-O. So I'm just going to pronounce it Amiyo. I probably butchered it. Shout out to Amiyo or M-I-O, whatever the name is. But shout out to that because you can play like Dungeons & Dragons, Shadow of Mystara, and Tower of Doom flawlessly, I might add, on the NES Mini Classic, which I think is just all kinds of awesome. So I'm happy about that. Next, I have Marvel Super Heroes vs. Street Fighter, the arcade version. It's a USA ROM, and it took a little finagling. I think out of all the games, this was probably the hardest game to actually run on the NES Mini Classic, but it runs it really well. And I think like the NES Mini Classic, like it can go up to like Sega Saturn levels of gaming. I don't want to test out the 3D. I get like Die Hard Arcade or something. I definitely don't want to test that. But like for good 2D games, it gets the job done. I don't even think it can run like freaking Game Boy Advance type of games. I've tried and I'm like, I dabble, but I'm like, I'm not going to, you know, take more of a risk to try like brick the system. So I just only just got the games I really wanted to play. And I'm just like, okay, that's it. Would I add more games in the future? Definitely not. You know, there's a couple games I wanted to add, and I actually had a good collection of Game Boy games, but I felt bad because I'm like, they're more so RPGs, and, you know, this is more of an arcade-y system, so I did want to add a couple of RPGs, not too many, but it was just a combination of games that, you know, I wanted to play. And I'm thinking, like, since I have to switch upstairs in the office, which is better because I purchased an Ethernet cable, I figure, like, you know, the NES Mini Classic is not online. It's just something like a, you know, a conversation piece where I can just put, you know, these games on. And people are like, oh, dear gosh, look at this. I'm like, yeah, awesome, ain't it? So next up, I got actually, speaking of weirdness, even though I wanted, you know, all arcade games, this game I couldn't pass up. And I'm actually going to see if I can purchase it for the Game Boy. So it's InfoGenius Productivity Pack Personal Organizer and Phone Book. And this is probably just a hint on what type of game, quote unquote, that I'm making, that I am making for the Game Boy, the original one. But it's not really a game. It's an organizer. It's a phone book organizer and a notepad as well. You can store numbers and store information. I think that is like the most awesome invention. And then again, you know, some things I like are the Shark MX, which is like an email client for the original Game Boy, which I find to be very neat as well. I love, like, you know, off-brand stuff that repurposes something like the Game Boy that turns it into something even much more like a multimedia capabilities, which again, I'm not looking at it subjectively in 2021, but just thinking back in the late 90s or early 90s, I should say, and you're seeing this, this is like amazing to me. Next up, we have Batman, the animated series for the Game Boy, which is a game that I adore. I grew up. Love is an understatement for the Batman the animated series because I grew up a huge fan of it. It reminded me of the good days when of my youth when I would just run home from school, turn on Fox News. Nothing wrong with Fox News, but I'm just saying, like, as a kid, turn on Fox Kids or WB17 in Philly, and we would just, like, watch cartoons. This is when cartoons actually came on after school, and not, you know, not talking about the cable folks where you guys were spoiled with cartoons. I grew up without cable, so my cartoons consist of anything that came on in the afternoon. And then everything that came on Saturday morning, and Batman animated series was one. I actually had received a great gift, and I got all of the Batman animated series, the entire series on DVD, which, you know, if I ever have like a couple of days where, you know, I'm at home and I have like maybe some free time and I don't have to worry about Nathan like breaking stuff, you know, no homework, nothing, I could just, you know, focus on something like that. But, you know, since I can't get to it, the best thing I could do is just whatchamacallit, I could just pop in a game for the animated series and just play it as well. So that's something I'm definitely happy about. Next up, so I already mentioned my love of Donkey Kong, and just to add it again, I also have Donkey Kong for the Game Boy. So Donkey Kong for the original Game Boy I have, and I've already tried it a couple of times with the emulator, and I think it's just one of the, it just fits, to be completely honest. It just fits completely on the NES Mini Classic. So if there was ever hope for like a Game Boy Classic or anything, you know, I can definitely see that being one of like the flagship games. It just fits perfectly, and also in my humble opinion, I just feel that, you know, a lot of, like, Game Boy games can actually benefit from a little treatment with, whatchamacallit? Just benefit from just a little bit of treatment with, like, being ported to, like, the big screen. But, you know, you could actually have, like, a microphone. Yeah, it's a combination of just being tired and my voice is going. Mostly from being tired. But, you can actually have a controller in your hand and just look at the screenplay so you can focus on, you know, not the screen shaking. That's because that's one of the biggest, you know, disadvantages of handheld games, because if you're shaking and you're really into the game, you know, sometimes the screen shakes, but at least you could just focus on the screen. It's stable. It sticks there. Notwithstanding, Donkey Kong is just, for the Game Boy, it's just one heck of a game, the original one, with Mario and Donkey Kong as the enemy. It's not that I'm not a fan of Donkey Kong Country or anything, but the games never really resonated to me. I guess, like, for me, once I find something, you know, I just stick with it, and that's it. It's hard for me to, like, you know, unless, because I have to go in with like an open mind and be willing to like play it. And I've tried Donkey Kong Country for the Game Boy Color. It just wasn't my cup of tea with that, but that's all right. I'm like, you know, nothing game breaking. I just know it's just not my cup of tea for that. Plenty fine. So next up, I have a game that I've been currently playing, and I think it's like one of the hardest games ever, is Golf for the Game Boy. I feel like this is the original Dark Souls of Game Boy. There's really no tutorial. You're trying to make it on the par. And, you know, I'm playing on the emulator, but I probably have to get the, you know, actual physical game. But I really do enjoy it. I'm kind of like in this phase of life where I'm not as, it's not that I'm not as active, but I like more calmer things. But this game brings me a good joy when I finally, like, you know, putt on the green, but also one of the greatest frustrations when, you know, I hit a ball into the water hazard. So the less I can say about it, the better. Next up, I had to put this game on, The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening. This game defined my childhood. It literally took me 20 years to get past level 7, which was that tower. And I think that's when I realized, like, okay, maybe my childhood dream of beating every single video game ever was probably not going to work. And I'm like, you know what, that's a-okay. But it's just such a good game from start to finish. So I know, like, hey, you know, if I have a moment, you know, I could just play that on a weekend if I want to just relive some good memories as well. Next two games are for the Game Boy Color. I've never played them, but I wanted to. Also because these games are from Nintendo, but Capcom produced them. So I'm definitely excited to see, you know, about these two games, and I can't wait to get like a free weekend to dive in them. And that's The Legend of Zelda The Legend of Zelda Oracle of Ages and The Legend of Zelda Oracle of Seasons. And, you know, you beat both of them, and then, you know, you unlock like a secret, you know, something. Not to spoil it, but I am definitely beyond excited just to try these games. I think Seasons has more puzzles than Ages, and Ages is a little bit more combat. It kind of takes like what Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening DX, where if you get the blue tunic, or like you get the blue tunic, you can have like more defense, and you get the red tunic, you'll have more offense. So it kind of builds upon that, and I thought that's amazing. Next game I have is Tecmo CIFL Bowl. So CIFL stands for the Canadian Indoor Football League. I actually enjoy this a lot because it reminds me of Arena Football League, which I adore immensely. I love the Arena Football League here in the States. CIFL Bowl is probably the closest thing to like 7-on-7 play, where the field's shorter. It's like 50 yards, but the fun is still there. I think I played it and I won the Canadian Cup the one year, and I had like 35 sacks because I hacked the exploit where I would literally take like a V-shape from the defensive end to sack the quarterback on every single play. Next up, I have back to the cap, and I'm sorry, Tecmo CIFL Bowl is for the NES. And next up, I have two more Capcom arcade games, Darkstalkers, The Night Warriors, and Darkstalkers Revenge. I got it a little bit confused because I believe I have Vampire Savior, which was the first Darkstalkers. Then I have Darkstalkers 2, which was named Darkstalkers 3 in the United States. So I'm just going to say, for the sake of my own sanity, I have Darkstalkers 1 and 2. And those games I played in Darkstalkers Resurrection online with El Hombre. And I enjoyed those games immensely, so I had to add them to the collection. Next up, we're going to go to Blast of My Past with the Sega Genesis, with the Sega Genesis 6-pack. I've already talked about this game ad nauseum, so what I'll do is I'll just list the games and move on. So it's a six games in one cartridge pack: Sonic the Hedgehog, the original one, Golden Axe, Column, Streets of Rage, Revenge of Shinobi, and Super Hang-On. So don't need to, you know, revisit that because I already talked about that ad nauseum. Next up, I actually have a fan-made game called Neo Geo Collector. This game is for the Neo Geo Pocket, and I think it was made by one person. So you go around and your goal is to collect every single Neo Geo game. So you can do so by trades, by purchasing games. You can work at a job in order to raise funds, and then once you raise enough funds, you can go ahead and purchase games. Then you can also you can gamble for certain games and bet money on the casino, but you also have to be careful because you can get your games lost or get them robbed or lost or stolen as well. So there's a lot of tricky that goes with it, but I had to add that. It was such a neat game concept, and that's just only in the first half. So next up, I got Quiz and Dragons for arcade. I actually grew up with this game from my high school friend. So a lot of games that I have on here are really rooted in sentimental purposes. And that's like one of them. I played it, I think the first time I played it was at Kirk's house when he was in Philly. And I played it with a couple of my high school friends. We would all stay over at Kirk's house. And we would just like literally play Marvel vs. Capcom 2, stay up all night, and then we'll go to church the next day, or just, you know, hang out at the arcade. So this was one of those games I had to add on as well. Plus, Alhambra really enjoys the game as well, so I couldn't forget about my home slice about that. So, and plus, it's I like more non-traditional games where it really is like a quiz show, but it has Dungeons and Dragons type of theme. So I think it just covers every single thing for me. It forces you to use your head. It's not really too intensive of action. So once I'm playing like fighting games and beat 'em up games, I can take a break, actually enjoy. And then also I'm able to just whatchamacallit, you know, still enjoy the Dungeons and Dragons aesthetic as well. So I thought it was like really, really deep. Next up, I had to add this, is Street Fighter 2 Dash Special Champion Edition for Sega Genesis. The two main games I played when I had my Sega Genesis was the six pack and Street Fighter 2 Dash Special Champion Edition. So since the podcast is Street Fighter 2 for the Game Boy, I don't really have to go ad nauseum to talk about that as well. So next up, Pokemon Trading Card Game. For the Game Boy. So those that listen to the podcast know that what I consider the greatest Game Boy theme of anything in the game is the Grandmaster's Battle in Pokemon Trading Card Game. I actually still have the physical cartridge, and it's just one of those games to me that never gets old, and it helps when, like right now, I feel like I have like a hankering for playing like strategy games. And it has infinite replayability. But it's just a game that I am surprised that it's not talked about enough. And the crazy thing is, even after all these years, there was a sequel, but even after all these years, Pokemon trading card games are still beyond popular, beyond comprehension and belief. It's insane. Next up, I have Super Mario Land 2 6 Golden Coins. I think this was one of the last Game Boy games that I just recently beaten. By recent, maybe, I would have to say like maybe more than 5-6 months ago. But I really enjoyed the game from start to finish. Ironically, it was a game that I always wanted in my childhood, even as a Sega fanboy. I've never got a chance to play it. Never even played, like, I think I might have played an emulator, an emulator version of it, but just finally owning the cartridge and just beating it from start to finish was probably one of my personal greatest achievements in video games. I mean, albeit I had to beat it on the easy mode because, gosh, it was a little bit hard near the end where you had to go against, like, multiple things and then have to go against Wario. And that's when I'm like, okay, my dexterity is going down a little bit. Next up, I have Tetris. So for the Game Boy, Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins for the Game Boy, and I have Tetris for the Game Boy. And that's like, you know, whatchamacallit. You can't, you know, like Tetris made the Game Boy. It's like what Wii Sports is to the Wii U in a way. And there's nothing I can say to justify it, but I think it's a great addition and fits with the classic motif of the NES Classic Mini. Next up for the Game Boy is Wario Land 2. I enjoyed this game immensely as a kid, and I thought I beaten it when I was younger, and then I failed to realize that I only beaten only half of the game, and you have to collect all the treasures just to get the true ending. And I thought that was just kind of amazing. I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to like play that game just to start from the beginning again, because it's a really good game. You know, it sucks you in, and it does a heck of a job of doing so. But I just need to add it to my collection because of the sentimentality. Next up is back to the arcade again, which is Pocket Fighter. I think I only played it a couple of times, maybe in the arcades, but immensely enjoyed the game. It's just such a good game, and I had to add it on even now. Like, I think it's like a 3 or 4 button control scheme. It's just so quirky. Nothing about it really makes sense, but it's just pure joy. And it was back when Capcom could not miss in the eyes of a fighting game fan with the games. Next up, I have back to the Game Boy, which is Real Bout Special. So this was a Japan only game. So I think Fatal Fury 2 came out for the Game Boy, and this is when Takara was making those cheapy type of games such as King of Fighters 95, Samurai Showdown, and I believe Battle Arena Toshin that was made by Takara as well, and World Heroes 2 Jet. In addition, in Japan only, Takara also made Fatal Fury 2, King of Fighters 96, which was actually King of Fighters 98 in Japan, and it was all based on these chibi models. And it's not like I wasn't a big fan of the chibi style or anything. I just wasn't a fan of those older games. And also Samurai Showdown, I can't forget that. So Takara made a lot of games. Samurai Showdown, and also Samurai Showdown 3 in Japan, which is really hard to find that ROM. I wanted to, but I'm probably not going to be able to find it to add it to this collection, even though I think that would be a great find. Excuse me, but yeah, King of Fighters 95, King of Fighters 96, quote unquote 98, Samurai Showdown 2, I'm sorry, original Samurai Showdown, Samurai Showdown 3, Fatal Fury, World Heroes 2, Jet, Battle Arena Toshiden, and then Real Bout Special. So what I like about it is that Yori actually makes an appearance in here. The spoiler alert, even though you can unlock him at the end. And I think it's one of the very first instances in a Fatal Fury game that a King of Fighters character was in it, predating the King of Fighters. So I thought that was just like an awesome thing just to note as well. Now I really want to try to find that Samurai Showdown 3 emulator, but it's so hard to find it. Next up is Retroid. Independent creator named Jonas Fischbach, he created Retroid and also Into the Blue as well. I adore Retroid because they remind me immensely of Arkanoid and going back to the arcade when I was younger at the laundromat around the corner from my mom's house. And when my brother and I, basically just me, because I would just steal a lot of quarters that were needed and convert those into tokens to play the arcade game. That was just, again, the funny time. And Retroid, it has like 30 levels, and that thing is, it's really, really neat. It's literally like Arkanoid or Breakout, but done the best way possible for the Game Boy. It's definitely recommended. The game is also free. But you can also choose to support the developer as well. I definitely recommend to check it out. So that's for the Game Boy. Next up, back to the arcade, which is the Simpsons arcade game. Now, the configuration I have only allows for me to play as Marge or Homer, but it's still one of the best arcade games ever. Unfortunately, I missed out on it when it came out on the, when it came out on the PlayStation 3, and it had online play as well. I think like 20th Century Fox had it only for a limited time. So if you don't already have it installed in your hard drive on your PlayStation 3, more than likely it probably won't come out again. So I was lucky to find an emulated ROM that works perfectly for it. Sticking with the arcade, I have Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo, another game from El Hombre that I just really grew to like, enjoy and play in the puzzle game. Plus, I kept getting trashed by them in puzzle games, so I had to like learn to get good. And even though, I was still under the impression that my PlayStation 3 was still working. I forgot it's broken. I was like, ah, crap, even though I have it on PlayStation 3. But I'm just lucky just to have another copy here where I can play it. And it plays like a dream on the NES Mini Classic. Going back to the NES, I have Tecmo Super Bowl 2021. Love the Tecmo Bowl series. I think the Tecmo Bowl website shut down just recently. But they would just pump out iterations of Tecmo Super Bowl even going up to this year. So if I needed to play like football and I couldn't get my football fixed because there's no Madden games for the Nintendo Switch, I know to never fail that I can just easily get a copy of Tecmo Super Bowl with the latest updates and rosters and changes as well, which I always found neat. And lastly, I just have got a pair of arcade games rounded up from Capcom. I'm telling you, Capcom was like such a big, huge, and influential part of my childhood growing up in the arcades. So X-Men Children of the Atom, this was a game that I played in Wildwood and AC in the Trump Taj Mahal of all places, or Showboat. On the second floor, there was like a little arcade, and I would just love just pumping quarters into there. And I played that there, and I also played that across the street at the corner store from my mom's house when I was younger. And I just loved and adored the game. So having a chance to play it again at home, just the arcade version, is amazing. I'm sorry, Capcom. I know you license everything out to 1UP in order to play, but that's too rich for my blood, like $350. Plus, I don't have a place to put the arcade cabinet. Thank you, wife. But that's completely okay. In addition, when I was just playing the game recently, I actually unlocked Akuma, and that was just like an epic thing. The controls are much wonkier, and you get to see like how far, you know, the Marvel vs. Capcom series, you know, came based on that. But that's definitely like a great love letter to the game and to the series by, you know, just how it was, and get to see everything from the beginning as well. And also I have X-Men versus Street Fighter. Again, I played that game ad nauseum at the arcade, Marvel versus Street Fighter. I would play that at a stop and go near my neighborhood when I was younger, because they had X-Men versus Street Fighter, then Marvel versus Street Fighter. And if you're definitely a gangster if you can just go into a stop and go which sells alcohol, and yeah, people that are like very drunk as a 10-year-old, but you just go just to play the arcade cabinet before someone jams it up, you know. So that really made my childhood. So, and then lastly, I have both the United States version and the Japanese versions of Street Fighter 2 for the Game Boy. And I don't have to talk about those because, again, podcasts. So all in all, the modified games here, the ones that I added with with the modded NES Classic Mini, each game, you know, really talks about like an era of my life that I really cherished and enjoyed, and that I spent time with. And I spent like considerable time with a lot of these games. So just, you know, removing the other systems. Well, my PlayStation 3 died, so that, you know, actually worked out. But just, you know, bringing the Switch to the office where I can plug it to the Ethernet cable, since I have that Hori Ethernet adapter that will probably help more with online gaming. But just having that system down here and having like all of the arcade games I wanted is, to me, is like the best thing ever. And then I know I can like purchase a mini HDMI monitor to travel with me as well and take it. You know, phantom power is reached from there because the NES Classic Mini is plugged up to my soundbar. Because my soundbar has like a USB connection as well. So just the ability of playing that there is just, to me, an amazing thing. So I really am grateful that I'm able just to encapsulate the majority, if not all, of my childhood into one, you know, system as well. That I know that, hey, if I don't feel like, you know, trying anything new, it's just right down here, and I could just pop it on in a jiffy. I have a wireless controller that I pay like $10 for with a dongle. Even though the batteries go like insanely quick, it's still something that's there. So that was just, you know, my gaming childhood in one small box. And I'm hoping and praying that the system never breaks and crashes as well. Oy vey, if that does, then aichi mama. But I probably won't like emulate another system, because there's so much, you know, rich gaming history, in my opinion, that's on here. Maybe I'll flash and make a backup copy. But other than that, that's it. There's just so much left that was curated into here. And I had like a lot of Game Boy RPGs that I never even owned, let alone played and wanted to play. But I figured, you know, just to fit with the motif of it, I just wanted games that were just easy to pick up and play. And, you know, maybe it's muscle memory. Maybe I could just play and discover a new memory again. But just something like on a long day, I just need to pick up and play. That was just the purpose of this. And also taking it with me, traveling, and the ability to play two players throughout the, emulator, which is RetroArch. And also, my only nagging thing about RetroArch is that it's a good emulator. It really is. There's certain things that are hit or miss, but you have to do like Yao Ming's work in order to like figure out the right settings. But in a way, that's also a part of the game as well, to figure out like what goes with what, what's the right setting, and how does it go from there. So I've talked to you guys ears off long enough. Thank you for, you know, always tuning in and listening. So I'm just going to wrap it up and save my voice. This has been the Street Fighter 2 for the Game Boy podcast. This has been your host, Frank. God bless.